Welcome to Cultural Mechanics, a podcast that emerges out of my research and interest in a variety of topics relating to digital culture, electronic art, critical media, creative technologies, and humanities computing. I'm, of course, James O'Sullivan. In this episode, our focus is Graham Allen, a Cork-based writer and critic. A professor of literature at University College Cork, Graham is an accomplished academic. He's published multiple books on a range of literary and critical matters. But he's also a published poet, whose debut collection, The One That Got Away, and indeed his forthcoming second book, The Madhouse System, have been published by my own, New Binary Press. But the focus of this discussion is his electronic writing. Specifically, his digital poem, Holes, which resides at holesbygrahamallen.org. As I'm involved with Holes as both producer and publisher, I felt it best to have someone else lead this conversation with Graham, so as to ensure it took a direction beyond what he and I have already addressed and written about in other venues. To that end, my colleague, Mary Galvin, a psychologist by training, sat down with Graham in UCC to try and learn something new about this work of electronic literature.
So to get the ball rolling, in your own words, Graham, so a lot of people, as you're saying, a lot of people in English are familiar with Holes. A lot of people maybe in academic circles familiar with Holes as well. For those who aren't, kind of in your own words, what is it?
Yeah, what is it? Well, it's a one line a day poem. Although to call it a poem even is complicated, really, because it's somewhere between a poem and a book.
Okay.
In terms of its genre, because it's a poem that keeps on going on and on and on and on and on and on. So it's far bigger than a poem is supposed to be. Even a narrative poem, it's a long, 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 long poem. And so I've always had a trouble. I always think we're not completely serving it sufficiently by calling it a poem. Because to call it a poem, it sounds like it's part of a bigger thing, whereas in actual fact, it's the thing itself.
Okay.
So in a sense, it has a status that's closer to a book. But that's a technical thing. It doesn't really matter. But just to give you a sense of that first.
Okay.
So I think it matters because it gives you a little taster of the way in which I think Holes complicates familiar categories.
Okay.
So it's a text and which is seems to be part of a bigger thing but isn't, kind of. So apart from that, it's one line a day, 10 syllable line, no 9 syllables, no 11 syllables. Over 9 years we may have got this wrong a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But generally it's 10 syllables a day. Delivered, published every week, normally Sunday or Monday,
okay.
Sometimes Tuesday, depending how busy James is.
Mm-hmm.
And I religiously get it in on a Sunday, sometime in the afternoon.
Right.
And the ideal is that each line is written every day. Now, that doesn't always happen.
Okay.
So sometimes I'm there on Saturday and there's only the beginning of the week has been... It's quite common, actually. It's common for me to get to Saturday and Monday and Tuesday may be written, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday may not be written. So I might write half a week in one sitting.
Okay.
Thinking back over the week, thinking back about what's happened to me, what's happened politically, historically, socially, what's happened around me at work, and also interesting things I might say just generally.
So that's what Holes is. It's a 10-syllable, one-line-per-day poem which Graham started writing on December 3rd, 2006. Some years later, in 2012, it was remediated to the web and continued its existence as a work of electronic literature. The first line of Holes reads, "My birthday again, I'm still on the ride." It's fitting that the work began on Graham's birthday, because it's something of a window on the author's life.
It's an autobiographical work as well. I mean, it clearly is an autobiographical work, but it's an autobiographical work with a desire. I have no real desire to share my life with my readers.
You don't?
No, I don't. I see no interest in the kind of... I mean, as an academic critic, I've spent a lot of my time in my career trying to get students to realise that we read literature for the sake of its status as literature,
mm-hmm.
and not as its status as biographical work. That we don't always go to the author's life as an explanation for the work.
Okay.
That a work normally has, if a work has any value, it's intervening into the literary, artistic, cultural space, as it were.
Okay.
And people, authors use their lives, but they don't always necessarily want you to go to their life as an explanation for their work. And I certainly have always been of that mind myself. A lot of autobiographies are a work of fiction in one way or other, just as we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you construct yourself as a series of memories, and you tend to pick certain memories, and you tend to forget an awful lot. Imagine all the things you forget. The you that you have psychologically is a construct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same with autobiographical work, it's a construct. And artistically, we're supposed to be self-conscious about these processes, whereas human beings, we might quite happily be unconscious about these processes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as an artist, you're supposed to be conscious, and you're supposed to do something with the medium to reflect these things. So that's what Holes is trying to do. It's trying to be a self-conscious autobiography. But what I mean by that in particular is that each hole, and there's a reason they're called holes, because they're a hole, you look through a hole. Now, the point of these holes is they're too small to see much through, if anything.
Okay.
And that's the if there's one metaphor that abides for me throughout the 9 years I've been writing Holes, it's that these are holes that are too small to see anything through. And what I mean by that is, that you can't see my life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see me. So what you're left with is a hole, which you look at. So you're looking at the hole rather than using the hole to see through the hole, as it were. But what actually dawned on me as I kept on writing is that, rather interestingly, something emerges when you put all these holes together.
Mm-hmm.
And what emerges is a kind of pattern. A pattern of repetitions, a chronological pattern of a sort, a pattern of chance, a pattern of obsessions, a pattern of themes that recur, all the different kinds of patterns. But what's lovely for me, and what's important for me about Holes, writing Holes, is that I'm not completely in control of those patterns. I'm only partly in control of those patterns.
How?
Because I'm only concentrating on the one line a day, or the one week a week. I'm not concentrated deliberately, and I'm not spending any attention, I can honestly say, as an artist, as a poet, on the wider patterns. I haven't read Holes in its entirety since 2012. So the 2013, 2014, 2015, I've not read them.
Okay.
So if I read them over the Christmas period now, I would be reading them almost like a stranger. I would be seeing things that I didn't intend to be there. Do you see what I'm saying? Patterns and structures.
Mm.
And it seems to me that that's a bit like life. You know, there's very few people that at the age of 5 say, I want to be an astronaut, and then go on and be an astronaut. Mm. And every single thing they do is orientated towards being that. We live our lives and things happen to us and structures happen, and then we reflect back and we say, God, you know, it's amazing how that got me to here.
Yeah, what led to here? Yeah.
Well, there's something I'm trying to do with Holes. I'm trying to build that level of chance into an autobiographical work to reflect that aspect of life realistically. It isn't realistic to write an autobiography in such a controlled way that you can see the pattern before you write it. Do you understand? Because life isn't like that. So it remains a constant desire of autobiographical writing to become more realistic. That's one of the things autobiography, but realistic in a sense, not, not in terms of the genre of realism. To put it another way, the one of the abiding desires of autobiographical writing is to be free of conventions that might stop it being authentic, you know, being real. And this is my attempt.
Literary critics are trained, or certainly they should be, to, where appropriate, separate the art from its creator, the voice of the speaker from the words put down by the author. And as readers, I think that is something that comes naturally to us. We recognize characters as just that, actors in a performance, their progeny rather than the reflection of the author's vision. But with Holes, it's different. It is in many respects a fiction, and many of the lines, as Graham explains, are just that, fictional. But its very form is such that it does draw attention to its hyper-autobiographical nature. And for me, and this is perhaps because of my proximity to the work and its writer, it is difficult to separate the lines from the person behind them. The tension in Holes is that it gives you some insight into the life of another, while simultaneously denying you the entire picture. It obscures the truth, and instead only hints at those stories we are so desperate to know. As a reader, you feel like something of a blind voyeur. Who is the person who wants him to be alone? Why are there so many eyes that need drying? What is this big mistake you've just made? The thing is, does Graham even recall what each line might refer to?
Now, with hindsight, you know, you've probably forgotten a lot of those Holes. You said you haven't read it in the entirety for a while.
Most of them.
But if I could give you a magic wand and say, look, you have freedom to go back and remove some of these lines if you want to remove them, would you?
No, I don't think I would. I don't think I would. And I got very, very worried when we, in 2012, when we put it online. I was quite nervous.
And what was making you most nervous?
Because before then, this was a text that I'd been writing for myself that didn't have a readership. And I hadn't really considered reactions to lines. So I would imagine if someone wants to do some work on Holes, and I can't imagine, you know, I mean, but why not? They might find that there's a change in tone and thematics and whatever, and language. They might find that. I wouldn't be surprised if they find a change pre-2012 and post-2012, for instance. So there is a consideration of having a readership that comes into play, obviously.
Yeah, because that's actually what I was going to ask, kind of the before and after. If you know, if they could be in two different, I suppose, silos. You said the change of the readership is there. I think is it more so that kind of, okay, well, I have to be aware now because it's not my eyes anymore.
What I will say is that even pre 2012, I was always concerned that I don't mention any names.
Okay.
And as part of the willed and anonymity of and not being able to look through the whole, I've always chosen to use general pronouns instead of names.
Okay.
And I find it very interesting. And one of the things Holes is about is also the art of forgetting.
How is it about?
Well, I can draw. I can write a line, and so my lines are always about he, she, they, we, them. Even I, you know, I'm a poet that often uses a different perspective than my own, and I would, you know. So, but if you take she or he, some reference to a he or a she, I can forget within a matter of weeks who that he or she was.
Really?
Even if they were ever a particular person.
Okay.
And this is the way language works. And our subject, you know, Roland Barthes, post-structuralist, would say, rightly so, that our subjecthood slips away in language.
Technically speaking, Holes is rather unsophisticated. It's essentially a MySQL database to which new lines are added on an iterative basis. For ease of maintenance, we use a customized WordPress theme for the front end. There's also a bit of custom JavaScript popped in so as to allow readers to select a particular date. In this way, you can read it in a linear fashion or through a more personal point of intervention.
What do you think people do with it?
That's a good question. I'd like to think that some people took it on their journey week by week. I'd like to think that some people every now and again on a Monday or a Tuesday or a beginning of the week say, I wonder what Holes is this week, and had a look. And maybe, I think some people do this. I'm told some people do this. And those people are the readers I kind of imagine, I suppose. And they would do something then that they, on the Monday evening, University Challenge finished. Oh, I wonder what's in Holes.
Yeah.
They have a look at Holes and compare their week to my week.
Mm-hmm.
So the particular preoccupations that are there in my mind, which come back again and again. Some of them are religious, some of them are political, some of them are social, some of them are personal, some of them are work related. These things that crop up again and again, because I'm a human being, so I have themes.
Yeah.
And so a reader of Holes will get familiar with those themes and say, oh, well, I wonder what was on Graham's mind. So it's a bit like an anti-Facebook, as someone once said. You know, it's a bit like, what was on Graham's mind this week? What did he find to crystallize into a whole?
Yeah.
I know some other people tell me that they look at it now and again. I mean, I mean, once every 6 months, once a year. And that's kind of interesting to me. I can't imagine what that's like so easily, because that's a question of reading quite a lot of lines.
Yeah, a lot.
But I would imagine a similar kind of process goes on about, well, what was Graham's year like in 2014 compared to, it might, and I think it would inevitably make you think of your own, what would your own version of this be?
Mm-hmm.
Which is perhaps one of the defining features of autobiographical writing, that the reader is always in the position of being encouraged to think, well, what's my version of this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think Holes has that.
Graham also writes print-based poetry. As already noted, he's the author of two collections, The One That Got Away, published in 2014, and his forthcoming second collection, The Madhouse System. Both of these collections, as well as Holes, are published under an independent publishing house that I founded in 2012, New Binary Press, and you can find out more on that at newbinarypress.com. Graham's print-based poetry is, I would suggest, very different to Holes. While he also treats personal, social and political issues in his print poetry, he definitely adjusts his style to the medium at hand. Harold Bloom describes his first collection, The One That Got Away, as a throwback to the High Romantics, a description which I do not think could be readily applied to Holes. But all multimodal artists are conscious of what style should be adopted for a particular canvas, be that the page, screen or otherwise. What's interesting about Graham is that, because he works across both print and digital, we have a chance to examine that artistic consciousness. To this end, Mary asked Graham how his print-based work, and indeed his broader work as a poet in general, relate to Holes.
The simple answer is, it's quite difficult for other people to relate it to my poetry.
Okay.
In the poetry world, and everybody seems to know about Holes, and they generally seem to like the idea of it. But I'm a poet who's published one collection. And it's the print collection that counts as the one collection. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Whereas I can actually consider myself as someone who's published two collections,
mm-hmm.
because I see Holes as a body of work that's equivalent to even more than one book. But it's difficult for people to see that, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's partly people find it difficult dealing with e-literature.
How would you address
digital
that?
Literature.
What would you tell those people?
I've just finished the answer first. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
I do find in the stuff I'm writing now, actually in the last month or so, 2 months, 3 months, I've started to allow for the possibility that Holes would influence the aesthetic of my ordinary poetry, my normal poetry, my mainstream poetry, my print poetry, or whatever you want to call it. So I think there's after 9 years, it's beginning to affect the aesthetic of my other poetry.
Okay.
So it's interesting, it's talking to it. Because there is an aesthetic in Holes, and it's an aesthetic I've kind of discovered, and it's an aesthetic about, if I was trying to capture it in a sentence or two, of experience, of a coherent experience reduced to elements that are in juxtaposition to each other. And the medium that I've been thinking about recently that is a bit similar to it is film. In the sense that a film will give you very short episodes,
mm-hmm.
one on top of the other. I'm a great lover of Stanley Kubrick's films, and Stanley Kubrick does this. One moment, one moment, one moment, one moment, and you as a reader have to put them together.
Mm-hmm.
There's something like that in Holes, and that is beginning to influence the poetry I'm writing now,
okay.
I think in a good way. So sorry, you were asking me something else.
Oh yes, sorry, Graham. What I was interested in, you're saying like some people regard you as having one collection. When you're saying Holes is a collection, it's a body of work. How, and you said you can understand why maybe they're struggling with identifying with that, or you know, saying it, stating it. If you had a space here with all of those people in the room, how would you address that?
Well, I'd start talking about e-literature, you know, and the fact that the poetic and the literary community needs to get more behind the idea that electronic media, digital media, allow for exciting new possibilities for changes in the way that we write, and quite meaningful changes. I mean, Holes allows me to write an autobiographical open text that develops every week, is published every week. It's just not possible in any conceivable universe to do this in a print form. Can only be done in electronic literary form. It allows for some of the things to develop about openness, about non-ending, about relation, the collapsing of the relation between the author's life and the publication of the work. If you publish a, I mean, it's a common experience of anyone who publishes their poetry. By the time the poetry collection is out, it's about 2 or 3 or 4 years since you wrote the stuff, and you feel very I mean, an event can occur on a Thursday, and I know that people will be reading it by the next Monday. That's very immediate. So forms of immediacy that have been a dream, I mean, literally a dream of previous writers, are now feasible from electronic literature. So electronic literature allows us some really fundamental and quite legitimate and profound opportunities that we should be embracing. And I still find that, as I say, that an awful lot of people in the literary world don't see that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a shame, and hopefully Holes is a good example of what's, you know, the things that e-literature allows. Yeah.
And if we go to, like, back 9 years ago when it wasn't in the shape, let's say, that it is today, when you were thinking ahead back then, did you ever see this coming? Or did you think, look, this is just something I'm doing at the moment?
I think when I first started, I was only thinking about print. So what I thought I might be doing is every 10 years publish a book.
Okay.
And there's an idea that we might publish a book after 10 years.
Okay.
I think we will be publishing a book after 10 years. But I thought that was the only way it was going to get a readership. So every 10 years, a new 10 years of Holes. And I didn't really, it's only when I met James that he kind of woke me up to the possibility. There's one thing you said earlier, that we haven't gone as far as we could have gone, because we haven't gone to the one line a day, publishing one line a day, publishing every day. We publish every week. And I think that has a lot of implications I haven't necessarily thought completely through. And publishing a line a day is quite close to a lot of the websites out there that are using Twitter and social media that publish something every day.
Yeah.
A line from Nietzsche every day, or whatever it is. A photograph every day, or whatever. So there's something about Holes that is I don't know, there's something in both of us, both James and I, are resisting that every day, because we could do it. But there's something, I don't know why we're not doing it, but we're not doing it. And maybe we're trying to make a little bit of a distinction between what Holes is trying to be, which is literature.
Yeah.
And simply something that is existing on social media. So maybe there's some kind of residual conservatism in us about literature. I haven't really talked to James about it on this level. This is dangerous now, because I'm talking about things we haven't talked about. I like the fact that it's connected to a press. I like the fact that it's collaboratory with someone who's so important within the field. Or young as James is, he's a very important voice in defining what e-literature is, digital literature, call it what you will. I like, and it's not protection, it's just the fact that it belongs to something which has a wider meaning.
Okay.
I like it being part of that, that it has a press, that it's not simply coming from me. I think that is partly that if it just came from me, it would seem like a blog.
Okay.
And it isn't a blog.
Mm-hmm. Thematically, Holds is a complete and utter maelstrom. It's a one-line-a-day poem that's been going for almost a decade. Why would it be anything else? But it's also intentionally political, and has consistently been so since the beginning.
There's a lot of politics in Holes, and there's a lot of an attempt, and I do attempt to try and mark my version of significant historical events. We're living in terrible times. Mm-hmm. We have been living in terrible times since I started Holes in 2006. Mm-hmm. Illegal wars, terrible land grabs for oil, America going nuts, etc., etc. Blairism, all these things, radical Islam, terrorism, counter-terrorism, all those things. The recession, the Bank of Ireland, bank bailout, etc., all these things that have affected everyone, really. Now, Holes reflects all these things as well, makes statements about them. And my desire in this regard is partly, I suppose, to relate to what my readers will obviously be thinking as well, you know, that everyone is affected by the climate change, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole load of stuff that isn't simply to do with me. It's to do with being a person in this historical period. I'd hope also that Holes eventually, when they dig it out of the ice, 10,000 years time or 100,000 years time, will stand as some kind of historical record that will be readable in some way. And in the fact that it's trying not to be a narrative, a controlled narrative, gives it a sort of maybe a value as a historical record. And if you go back to 2008-09, you'll find about a whole month where I'm going on about the Bank of Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, that tells you what was going on at that period.
Yeah.
In terms of the bailout, etc., etc. You know.
Is that something that's present the whole way through, or something that was maybe became more present?
I think
when
that
it
would
became
be very
digital.
Interesting to ask a reader that.
Okay.
I've no idea because I don't read it. You know, as I say, I don't read it in that way. But to read it through, it would be very interesting to see whether the politics of it became sharpened. I feel personally, so the only answer, the interesting thing is the only answer I have to that would be to think about myself.
Yeah.
You know, which suggests the relation that Holes has to me. It's just part of my memory. Mm-hmm. And it's a sort of a commitment to a permanent form of a certain mode of thinking, immediate mode of thinking. I think it's become more political as we've gone on. Mm-hmm. I think it's partly because it's now a public thing. Mm-hmm. So the imperative to make statements about political issues becomes a little bit more pressing. But I think it's also because I have become, I was always a political animal, but politics is so fraught now. Mm-hmm. I have developed as a poet, I think, a sense that that it's important for poets to be in some way connected to the political nowadays, maybe always.
So, Holes is already thousands of lines in length, and each day it grows longer. The question is, what's next for the work?
I want it to be the longest poem ever written in the English language.
Okay.
Because I'm going to continue to write it until I'm either dead or I'm not able to write it any longer.
Okay.
So I'd like it to be a long, 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 long.
Long, long, long.
This is again, I am associating with it
in
many ways, you know? It's become part of me.
For more, see culturalmechanics.org.